God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text is coming from our Old Testament reading from Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. And in our text, we see, as our bulletin cover depicts, Moses being commanded by God to put a serpent on a pole because snakes, poisonous snakes, were in Israel's camp and they were biting the people of Israel and they were dying. And we have to ask the question, why did this event occur? Our Old Testament reading for today says, because they were bickering. They were bickering against Moses and against God. And God used these snakes to sort of bring the people of Israel back into a loving, saving relationship with him. In one essence, this is a beautiful gospel event. God delivering sinners. Sinners who bicker, sinners who complain, sinners who want to be leaving God because of their complaints, now being driven back to God. A beautiful gospel message. God doesn't necessarily chastise them when they come back, but loves them and embraces them. This sign, the symbol of a snake being up on a pole, a symbol of healing. Needless to say, our medical community has sort of adopted that little symbol as a symbol of its own, as a sign of healing. You have a pole, you have a couple snakes, you have some wings, so to speak, as our modern-day medical symbol for healing. Yes, and our medical world does do healing in and of themselves. They have a great deal of benefit. Whether it be a broken bone or other type of diseases, the doctors have some good ideas, but I will admit the doctors don't have the complete healing. They'll be the first one to tell you that they can't heal everything. They have a lot of tools at their disposal, but they'll also tell you that medicine is not an exact science. What works for one person may not work for another person. So where does this leave us? It still seems like our world, especially here in the United States, gives the medical community an awful lot of attention. And fair enough, they do a lot of hard work. But we also may be a little surprised that there's also a great deal of cost involved with this hard work. If you were sick to begin with and you are healed, you might be sick again when you get the bill in the mail, so to speak. Between the rising costs of prescriptions, of malpractice, the insurance system, I've kind of figured if I didn't have insurance and I had a heart attack and survived, it probably would cost me at least my house, if not more. So let me just beg a question. Not that I'm trying to pick on our medical community, by no means. They are some very faithful and loving and caring people. But do we sometimes put too much stock into what they do? Do we sometimes hope too much or expect so much out of them? They will even admit they can't cure everything, but in the back of our mind, do we have this perception that they can? And then how do we balance what we give in loyalty and cost and time and effort to our medical community, who does a good job in healing the physical body, so to speak, but can't stop me from growing older, versus how much do we put into the spiritual healing? Christ, the one who dies on the cross, not to redeem flesh and blood of our physical body, but to redeem our soul so that we can be with God in heaven above. How do you compare and contrast them? Well, let me put it this way. If my mathematics are somewhat correct, if a human being lives to, say, anywhere between 70 or 100 years, and you put that on a graph and now compare it to all of eternity, that 100 or so years seems like a little bit of speck compared to all of eternity. Eternity is infinite. So then how much time do we devote to the medical community? And how much time do we devote to the community of believers, where there is God's word, the promise of salvation, the forgiveness of sins? Well, I will admit I'll probably also be one of the first ones to say that my physical body holds my attention pretty well. And this is kind of exactly what was going on in our text. Not that they were waiting in line in the ER, Or they were complaining about the bill from the recent doctor's visit, but they were concerned about things of the body. What they were going to eat, what they were going to wear. And as human beings, our natural instinct is to be concerned about our physical body. But at what expense? At the expense of our soul? Even in today's world, in our medical community, you have a lot of people doing sort of the cosmetic surgeries. You know, the facelift, the tummy tuck. So I have to ask you with a little bit of tongue in cheek, does this all make me look fat? If it did, I know a couple surgeons who would be more than happy to trim a few inches around the center. Isn't it a shame we spend all that money on making even our general appearance look a little better, but we can't take it with us to heaven above? We spend money on physical fitness, dieting, but pay so little attention to our own spiritual care. Yes, the body is the temple of the Lord, but we can't take it with us. We have to remember that Christ died to redeem the soul, not the body. In heaven above, we'll be given a glorified body, which is great. Because I'm at that age now in the early 40s, you know, where the body isn't working as well as it did in the 20s. There's a little bit of more aches and pains, and I know some of you are just saying, just wait, Pastor, wait until you get to be my age. There'll be more aches and pains. Great, I'm looking forward to it. Oh, okay, getting back to our text here. Christ died to redeem the soul and will give us a glorified body, not the body that we currently have. Then why do we spend so much time enslaving our emotions, our mind, our resources to this physical body? Case in point, what do we complain? What do we bicker about the most? Isn't it things of this world? Oh, hold on a second. Maybe not, I forgot. You know, you're good Lutherans. So when you go home and you're at your house and you're at the dinner table, what you're really complaining about is Trinity Lutheran Church. You know, they only offer God's Word one time over the weekend. You know, it's either that Saturday or Sunday, but still one time. Why can't we maintain that Wednesday evening service throughout the whole year instead of just during Lent and Advent? Why don't we have a different worship service each and every day where we can be fed God's Word each and every day? That's what you're arguing about, right? Probably not. It's usually about things of this world. What's bothering us? What's consuming us? Is it really the lack of our spiritualness in our relationship to God? Or is it the things of this world? I don't have this. I need that. Things aren't going well in this area. Well, that's where the introduction of our text sort of brings us. The people of Israel were being typical people. They were being rebellious. They were being sinners. They were rebelling against Moses and against God. Why? Their stomach wasn't being filled the way they wanted to be filled. I mean, they were living off of God's food, which was manna. Manna was provided for them on a daily basis. It wasn't that they didn't have enough manna. It's just, what can you do with manna? It's still manna. You can chop it, you can fry it, you can bake it, you can cook it. It's still manna. They probably wanted a nice juicy steak. Maybe a tossed salad on the side. What about a little ice cream afterwards? No, none of it. It was just manna every single day. Well, I guess I'd probably even start complaining a little bit. But then to be in open rebellion against Moses and against God, that's where they were heading. Needless to say, God sent the poisonous snakes. Why? To remind the people what's truly important. Things of this world, things of the body, or the things of God. Isn't it interesting? God's sense of humor here. Yes, sending the poisonous snakes. Who did the people go back to? The ones they just got through complaining. It's almost like these little kids of ours. You know, after they keep complaining about how bad mommy and daddy are, guess what? As soon as they get hurt, where do they come running back to? Mommy and daddy. Same with the people of Israel. They come back running to Moses and God. And what does God tell Moses to do? To love them. Take a pole, make a bronze snake, put it up on the pole. Anyone who looks on this bronze snake will be healed. Let me quote from Martin Luther about this event. He talks about the serpent which Moses raised up in the desert did not make alive through its inherent character, for it was made of bronze, just as we could form a serpent from bronze now. But the word which was added to that brazen serpent was life-giving because God commanded the serpent to be set up and added the word. Let me explain it this way. What Luther is trying to convey is, if we took a bronze serpent and put it up on a pole, would that heal you? Would that be of any benefit to you? The answer is no. And the reason why is we don't have God's command attached to that bronze serpent and pole. So what we need here are two things. First of all, God's word and command to do something and his promise to deliver on it and the actual event or element itself. Why this is important? Because in a little bit later on in our worship service, we're going to take regular bread and wine. Do we have a command of God? Yes, do this in remembrance of me. Do we have a promise of God? Yes, for the forgiveness of your sins. Attach it to that bread and wine. And do we have healing as God alone heals? The answer is yes. Not healing from whatever aches and ailments you have. It'd be great because, you know, as I get a little older, these bones creak a little bit more. And it would be great if they didn't creak anymore, but that isn't what God's promising in the Lord's Supper, is it? But he is promising the forgiveness of sins, the strengthening of that faith. He is promising food for the soul, restoration of the soul. And he's delivering on that promise. Luther goes on and says, whoever looks at it will be healed. This word you do not have if you form a serpent from bronze today. Moreover, the reason for the healing lay not in looking at it, but in the command from God that we should look at the serpent and in the promise of the promise of deliverance. Notice it is the command of God that heals. It's not the action of the individual looking at the serpent that healed them. Likewise, the focus when we receive the Lord's Supper is the command of God of the forgiveness of sins given and shed for you. So we need to keep this in a proper perspective here. What are we here for? To have our physical anxieties appeased or to have the soul restored? Today we are focusing on the restoration that God alone provides through Jesus Christ for the soul. Christ died to redeem the soul, not the physical body. In today's world, however, what does consume our thoughts, our minds, our actions? Is it not the things of this world? Or is it the things of God? Well, to be fair, human nature kicks in. We start thinking in our own terms instead of God's terms. Now let me sort of ask a little bit of a trivia question. Does anyone know what happened to this bronze serpent after this Moses event here in Numbers chapter 21? Well, being a good pack rat at times, I sort of fit in with the people of God. They kept the bronze serpent. It shows up a little bit later in Scripture, strangely enough. What happened between that event and a little bit later when it shows up again? Well, let me use my imagination for a moment. Being a sinful human being, I think I can relate. Because once the bronze serpent was taken out of that context, being with the people of Israel where the poisonous snakes were, it really didn't have that command of God anymore. It was just more or less a symbol. But us human people sometimes get God's messages a little mixed up. They began to worship that symbol. They began to glorify the symbol instead of God. They lost track of even who God was. But they still worshiped the bronze snake. Needless to say, during the time of Hezekiah, as Hezekiah comes and becomes king, he realizes that, wait a minute, the people aren't worshiping God anymore. So he tears down the people's false altars, including the one with the bronze snake that Moses made. He smashes it to pieces and does what? Rebuilds the temple. That is so important, especially for us today. to be reconnected to God. See, too often we do spend a lot of time focusing on what the medical community can or cannot do for us, but yet, do we ever focus upon what the community of believers does for us? In this community of believers that we call the church, Christ provides His very Word to nourish and satisfy the soul. He provides His very true body and blood with that bread and wine for the forgiveness of sins, the strengthening of our faith. He provides healing in the way that the medical community, even though they may adopt the sign that Moses made, they can really never provide the real healing that God accomplished through that sign in Numbers chapter 21. Where does this lead us in our today's lives? Is we need to take a word of caution, first of all, from the people of Israel during Numbers chapter 21. Our bickerings creates conflicts. Our own focus upon our humanness and our selfishness and our desire to satisfy the physical flesh does not necessarily help in our relationship with God and being His people. Do we not believe that God does take care of us? As we say in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. The people of Israel were being fed with manna. That was their daily bread. But it didn't satisfy them. They wanted more. And in the emphasis of getting more, they pushed God out of their lives. God had to take drastic action, not to lose the entire people of Israel, and allowed the snakes to come, sent them, to bring the people of Israel back into a saving relationship with Him. Does God need to send poisonous snakes into your lives? We come here today to say to the Lord, Lord, I've sinned. I have fallen short of Your glory. I have been selfish. I have been bickering. I haven't been giving as much attention to Your Word. Even though Your Word will provide healing for eternity, I've been more focused upon the here and the now and getting my creature comforts now. And the mathematics just don't add up. So during this time of Lent, we look at our sinfulness, realizing our desire for the physical, and we ask the Lord to heal us. To heal us in ways that the medical community cannot. To heal us through the body and blood of Christ with that bread and wine, because we have that command and promise of God. And to remind us that, yes, Christ died to redeem the soul, not the body. So during this time of Lent, we focus upon our sinfulness. We repent. We return around. We return back to the Lord's grace and favor. And realize that, as our gospel reading says, God didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is Him that we give our praise, our thanks, for the salvation, the forgiveness of sins, even in the midst of our own bickering. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God, that surpasses all our understanding, will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.